loan officers. Join the Mortgage Calculator as an MLO for unlimited mortgage leads and up to 250 BPS compensation.
Welcome, everyone. My name is Kyle Hershey. I'm the COO of the Mortgage Calculator, joined here by our president, Nick Hershey. And this is our loan officer training series that we do every Tuesday and Wednesday evening at 7 p.m. Eastern time. We go through a new loan officer training topic. Tonight, we're going to be talking about how to use an asset utilization loan. So how do we break down the income when we are doing an asset utilization loan? So I'll go ahead and pass it over to Nick here to go through the presentation he has set up. So I guess, Nick, first, let's talk about what asset utilization loan is, and then we can talk about how to utilize it for income.
All right. So I have my presentation ready here. But essentially what it comes down to is we're going to use our borrower's qualified assets. All the different programs have different definitions of qualified assets as income by dividing it by some sort of factor, and every program has a different factor. So this is pretty complicated as far as everything is different, as far as every guideline, and there's probably 100 different variations here, so a lot of different ways to slice it, but we obviously have these options available. So you pull up the presentation here first. And first, what I set up is a few of the common examples, the conventional examples here. So there's a few different ways to do this. We have links here. I'll share this with our team. But Freddie and Fannie both actually do allow asset utilization. And it has typically something to do with their employment assets. So a lot of restrictions. But there is a way to do it with Freddie, and there is a way to do it with Fannie. There's the links right there to the selling guide. But for non-QM, it varies between every single program. So a lot of differences there. You really got to read through the guidelines. But let's go ahead and compare a couple examples quickly here. So Freddie Mac requirements. The picture that we set up here probably doesn't do it justice because this is only eligible if there's a borrower 62 or over. So Freddie Mac, pretty restrictive on the borrower, but has a little more leniency on some of the other items. So Freddie Mac can do one or two units, purchase or cash, limited cash out, not real cash out, right? So rate and term. Primary or second homes, no investment properties. Max CLTV of 80%. And the eligible assets, there is a little more leniency here. So they do retirement assets, which we'll see that Fannie does as well. They do assets from the sale of a business, which is kind of unique. A lot of little restrictions there. Definitely read the full guideline. There's depository accounts and securities, so your standard stuff. And lump sum distribution funds not deposited to eligible retirement, usually employment-based as well. So lots of different ins and outs on how that works. Please see the full guidelines, but just know that all of those are eligible overall. Now let's get into the calculations. So Freddie Mac has a pretty simple calculation here. So this is the one we're going to start with. It's going to do it a little bit different than the rest. So these are going to be net assets, which is all the eligible assets that we went over, minus penalties, gifts, borrowed funds, and down payment, closing costs, and reserves. And then we're going to take that figure and divide it by 360, so the full term of the loan, typically for a 30-year loan. So for example, for all our examples here today, we're going to use $1 million of quote-unquote net eligible assets. It's going to be different for each program, but just assume that we come to that same figure. And in this example, oh, sorry, I have the wrong figure there. It's 240 for Freddie Mac. I think I copied that from Fannie Mae. And it's 1 million divided by 240 is 4,167 in income. Fannie Mae requirements, no age requirements, so a little less restrictive on the age. It can be purchase or limited cash out. It can be primary or second home. They don't say anything about the units on there. Can do up to 80% CLTV for over 62 and under 62, 70%. So that's where they bring in their age factor. And this is all employment-based assets, retirement assets, and anything that's that, again, that weird category of non-self-employed lump sum retirement package, lump sum distribution. So again, employment based. Now this one is actually 360. I had copied the wrong one over there. So Fannie Mae is net assets. They have a little bit different definition. It's just penalties if applicable. So if you get a penalty for withdrawing from your IRA early, obviously that's taken into account. And then down payment, closing costs, and reserves. And they're going to divide that by 360. So that same borrower, if they had the same eligible assets, is going to have 1 million divided by 360 is 2,778 in income. Let me quickly go back to Freddie Mac, 4,167. Fannie Mae, same amount of assets, 2,778 in monthly income. So you see that Freddie Mac is preferred if our borrower is 62 and has the type of assets. And obviously, if not, we want to use Fannie Mae. Now, this episode is more about non-QM. So we have to define the standard here before we can really go into the non-QM versions. So talking about non-QM, the calculations are going to vary. As I mentioned, there's no restrictions in general. Obviously, every program has their own guides. All the assets are generally usable. We'll see that here in a second. All the property types are generally applicable. All the ages are generally applicable. And all occupancy types are generally applicable. So if we're doing asset utilization, non-QM is the name of the game. Now, for a specific example one, I wanted to do a few more. I didn't have time today, so I do have two examples to compare. They're pretty similar, but you'll see even though they're similar in calculation, they're very different in the kind of the rules here that we're going to go through the actual setup. So this example, one of my favorite ones, 1 million in qualified assets, does throw some of our borrowers out of the qualification right away. So some borrowers may be able to qualify with less than 1 million total, but if they don't have 1 million, unfortunately, this program is not applicable. This program does allow gift funds up to 80 CLTV, and the max CLTV overall for a primary only obviously is 90%. 4-month seasoning of assets, so that's more than some programs. So more restrictions in some areas, less restrictions in some areas in this exact program. Our eligible assets in this program are going to be 100% of any regular cash-based assets, checking, savings, money market, CD, 100% of any public tradable stocks, bonds, mutual funds, anything liquid, right? And then 70% of anything retirement-based is probably going to have some sort of restriction. So they don't make the borrowers be 62 and eligible age or 59 and a half and some of those other things that they have in some of those other areas. They just simply chop off 30% of any retirement-based items, and that covers them. So again, a little bit more restrictive in some areas, less restrictive in others. Now, how do they calculate it once they put all these restrictions on there? Pretty simple, non-QM, again, name of the game. You divide it by 60 months. So that same borrower who had 1 million in eligible assets, now with no restrictions, no age restrictions, no LTV restrictions, no property restrictions, no occupancy restrictions, now that same borrower with $1 million now qualifies with $16,667 a month in income. So with this exact loan program, same exact borrower, same exact situation, $16,000 a month income. And go back here, Fannie Mae, same borrower, same situation, $2,778. Freddie Mac, 4,167. So you see a huge difference here when we get out of the conventional. Conventional has a big difference between the two, but you see the difference between non-QM is substantial, over 4 times the income of the closest conventional example. So huge difference there. Non-QM is the way to go when we have a borrower that needs to qualify using assets. Now for our second example, again, I could do, 20 different examples here of different slight variations, and you'll see that this example, even though the calculations are very similar, what we use to calculate is different. So on this one, our minimum is just 110% of the loan amount plus reserves. So if we're doing a $1 million loan, then the reserves are actually going to be more than the other program. It'd be 1 million times 110%. So it'd be 1.1 million plus reserves. Most non-QM programs will have 6 months reserves or so, 3 months of reserves. So actually the requirement would be more. But in some cases for a smaller loan amount and such, we would need less assets. So this would be a program for a borrower that may have less assets going for a smaller loan amount, maybe a $200,000 loan. you'd only have to have $220,000 technically worth of assets to use if you wanted to use them. So very different setup there in their minimum qualified assets. Gift funds are not allowed at all on this program. Max LTV, 90%, same there. And they have a cash out restriction, 70% overall, no exceptions. So that's just another just little caveat there. 60-day seasoning. So the other program was 4 months, pretty restrictive, 60 days. So 2 months of bank statements or retirement statements or whatever we're going to use here are going to be required for any of these assets we're going to use. And we're going to be able to use, just like pretty much all these programs, 100% of liquid, so checking, savings, money market, annuities, cash value, life insurance, 75% of stocks, bonds, mutual funds. Usually those are kind of considered cash because they're pretty liquid, but this program does chop them down a little bit to 75%. We're going to use 75% of retirement assets. Eligible if the borrower is retirement age. So if they're able to withdraw, then you use 75. If they're not able to withdraw, they'll be 70%. So that's the bottom one. So 70% of retirement assets if they're not of retirement age. So again, to factor in that penalty. So I see here similar programs, very different ways to apply the rules, but you end up with a similar result here. So we get into our calculations. They use the same thing. Whatever we get for our net qualified assets divided by 60 months. So in this case, 1 million, again, 16,667 in income. Same calculation, but it all depends on what types of assets you have. You see, if you had the same statement that you're trying to use for both programs, they're both going to calculate it in different ways. So we could go on with tons of different examples. Some of these may use 72 for the calculation. Some may use, similar to Freddie Mac, 240 for the calculation. Some may use 84 for the calculation. There are tons of ways to slice the calculation and tons of ways to slice these little rules here on how exactly we set this up. So those are our examples for today. Just wanted to get out those quick examples, Fannie, Freddie, and then two of our non-QM examples. And there are probably over 100 overall in between there once we start digging through it. So Kyle back in here.
And I don't see
any questions.
I don't see any questions. It always just blows my mind that people can get a loan just because they have money, right? Isn't that crazy? Like, wait, you're telling me that I don't need an actual job or income and I can qualify for a loan just because I have money in the bank?
Mm-hmm. And a lot of these programs can be combined. These two actually that I just presented are pretty favorable programs. They can't be combined with other programs, but we even have options where, say you came up short on bank statement income, you can add assets as income, but those options that let you combine may use a calculation like 84 as their dividing factor, or 72, which is a little more restrictive, right? So you start seeing the ways that the different programs use this. They're going to have certain levers that they're going to push. So just about getting with your loan officer, they're going to find, dig through all the guidelines, like I was just doing before we got on the show today, finding exactly the exact little bullets that line up for our borrower. And there's always going to be an option out there out of the hundreds.
All right. Well, I don't see any questions. So we go ahead and wrap it up nice and early tonight, I think. Short and sweet here. Remember, everybody, that we do this at 7 p.m. Eastern time every Tuesday and Wednesday evening. So we will see you tomorrow. So appreciate it. Thank you, everybody, for tuning in. We'll see you tomorrow, 7 p.m. Eastern, for the next episode of the Loan Officer Training Series with the Mortgage Calculator. Have a great night, everyone.
Loan officers, join the Mortgage Calculator as an MLO for unlimited mortgage leads and up to 250 BPS compensation.